It is 9:40 Pacific time on a Tuesday, and you hear a little Christopher Cross. That means it's time to get out on the waves, the seven seas, with our friend Karen Lyle, who will co-host this segment with me from SailSportsTalk.com. Karen, great to have you on the show again. And I was going to ask you, I know you wanted to talk about it, these sailing yacht clubs and stuff, they're very exclusive, and you sort of wanted to get into that, right?
Well, I was very curious about the role of the private clubs in sports, and I know how it is in sailing, but I was curious about also, you know, all of the different places that private clubs play a role also in other sports, because, for example, you've got the Gotham Club over in San Francisco and so forth. So you know about those clubs. I know about the yacht clubs. What makes a yacht club unique, I think, is that it's not just the club, it's the boats. People actually have to compete on the boats, and the boats have to have owners. So you get this mix of people who have the money to buy the boat and maintain the boat, and then people who have skills. And you might have a mix in age, like, you know, 80 to 20, you know, 17 or 24 on the same boat if you've got five or six people that are filling all the positions on a bigger boat. And I'm just wondering, is there any equivalent to that in other sports?
Well, you're kind of asking the wrong guy, because I'm not rich. But I can tell you this. I mean, you mentioned the Gotham Club. For people who don't know what that is, if you played for the New York Gothams, first of all, you're probably dead. If you played for the New York Giants or San Francisco Giants, you're automatically a member, which is a cool thing to be. they also have a little space at the stadium that they call the Gotham Club that you can buy a ticket for, which is something different. But it's mostly, I would probably say, what happens in Europe when they say they'll have a soccer team, and then after it'll be called AC Athletic Club or AFC Athletic Football Club. Then you can have these sort of membership, and you wear the tweed jacket with a little crest over the breast. And, you know, even in Spain, like Real Madrid, you think, oh, what a great soccer team. Oh, no, they have a basketball team too. You know, it's just this sort of a spanning all over the place. So I have been to a lot of VIP events, especially the World Series. There's a commissioner's party after every game. I went to a lot of those. Before the Super Bowl, I got to go to Lee Steinberg's party at the San Diego Zoo before Super Bowl 37, and, you know, stuff like that. But as far as clubs go, I think those are sort of more hoity-toity. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting, because that's certainly what I thought before I got into sailing. But there's such a variety of clubs and so many different classes of clubs, as far as the, you know, there's a club up in the Delta where they just got a $7,000 boat, and that was their clubhouse, right? And everybody, you know, has little power boats and you know, boats that might not costs or sailboats that might not cost more than $5,000 or $7,000 a piece. And so, you know, there's a real low barrier to entry. Maybe the club memberships are no more than $50 or $75 per month. And then you've got things like the St. Francis Yacht Club, where I'm not going to reveal all the secrets about how much it costs to get in, but it's, you know, it's comparable to a golf club and some of the prices for there. But they have all these memberships for, like, people who are musicians who come in and play can come in, and they don't have to pay initiation fees. And they basically barter for their membership and have really low cost per month because they're playing music. Or, you know, if they have real low entry for people coming in at a younger age who want to learn the sport of sailing. Because the reality is, if somebody buys a boat, say they spend $500,000 on an expensive yacht, and they want to go race it in the, you know, the Three Bridges races or something like that, they can't race that without a team, because the boat is big enough. It needs to have someone up at the front. It needs some, you know, someone at the forestay, someone in the pit, someone trimming the sails, you know, someone managing the spinnaker, someone at the helm, and a tactician. And maybe the owner has been, you know, is in their 60s to 80s, right? And they'll bring in, you know, people who are in their 20s and 40s to fill out these other roles. And these are oftentimes amateurs who, there's a mix, sometimes amateurs and professionals. So you get people of different classes, different ages, different, you get some diversity on the boat as well, different races, you know, because there's a need for the athleticism. And so there's an entry point that's very low. And a lot of people don't know that, that they can get in basically, by just having the ability to want to learn and be good at something and do, you know, by their skill basically. And so I'm thinking that, you know, when you have, certainly like if you take the other sports, you know, if you have a football like baseball or something, you've got all these entry points, right, where people can get in based on their skill and they don't have to have money, but there's a team owner who pays the bills, right?
Well, I think you were right about the golf club. I think a country club is probably the most accessible to us, a country club that you can golf, you can play tennis, you can use the pool, you can use the sauna, what have you. A friend of mine is a member of the Olympic Club, and I just thought it was a couple of golf courses out by Ocean Beach, but no, it has a downtown massive gym. It's just a huge old brick building that you wouldn't know. And it's basically when NBA teams come and play the Warriors, they'll practice at the Olympic Club because it's very exclusive. And I got to play a little basketball out there. It's massively expensive. My brother for many years was a member of the Elks Club, which is by Union Square, and we would play racquetball there. They had an indoor pool as well. But as far as sort of the exclusive clubs, there's a place called The Battery on Battery Street, which is literally a block from our studios here. And that was started by an English couple about 15 years ago. And they said, how come they don't have clubs like we do in England, i.e. exclusive membership, where you can't buy your way in? You have to be interviewed. Now, of course, it's America and California, so they can't discriminate against, you know, race, religion, or gender, what have you. But you do have to pass a test, and they have to like you. And if they don't like you, then you can't come in. And so that's probably, and I'm sure there are tons of clubs that I'll never know about because they're run by the Illuminati or just rich people. But The Battery is probably the most public, private club that's downtown.
Well, and it has a lot of young members, of course, I know, and many members of the Battery Club and the Olympic Club and been to these places. Right across from the Olympic Club is the Metropolitan Club, which is on Sutter Street. So the back of the Olympic Club faces the Metropolitan Club, and that started out as the San Francisco Women's Athletic Club in 1914. And it was interesting because the wives of the members of the Olympic Club and the Bohemian Club, who were all gentlemen, because those were all gentlemen's clubs back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when they had a resurgence of setting up these clubs, said, well, wait a minute, you know, we have money and we have opportunity, but we don't have a vote. And so we need to reach across the classes to the working classes, those of us who are in the social register, and we need to make a place for women so that we can organize and we can have athletic clubs and we can have places, you know, hotel to put guests up and other things like that, and we'll do it on membership. And so they formed that club in they have a swimming pool and a tennis court and, you know, a gym and all of those things. And they formed that in 1915. And that's where a lot of organizing and, you know, networking happened for women to have a vote. So there are women's clubs. There's even a women's club in Hong Kong that was established in the late 1800s. And the way that you know where all these clubs are is if you belong to one, then they have reciprocal privileges with other clubs. So then you're able to go to all of these other clubs that are around, and these clubs, you know, because members travel, they want to have a place to stay. So women would go to Hong Kong to help the women in Hong Kong there, and they needed a place to stay. And so they created a club in Hong Kong, and there's one in Singapore. They're all throughout Europe. They're all across the United States that are, you know, not all women's clubs. Sometimes they're they started, it started out with the women's clubs because the men's clubs didn't allow women, except they, as for sometimes when they were guests, and when the women's club started, they didn't allow men unless they were guests. So they had this kind of balance of the two. Anyway, it's just something that people, I didn't know about all this growing up because my, my dad belonged to the Delta Yacht Club, and he was pretty much of an introvert. He had a developer in San Francisco, and he just liked to go out on his boat and go up to the island. You know, we would play and swim in the pool outdoors there, but it wasn't something where I really thought of it like a club. And I didn't realize that there were all these clubs in the city until I became an adult and started mingling and doing, you know, business and other stuff in the city and became aware of it. But New York is now having a big surgence because of the commercial real estate being open. Now there are new clubs that are being formed. And so you saw in the New York Times, if you look up private clubs in Google, you'll get all these newspaper articles about the new clubs that are being formed. So it's kind of now people are talking about it, where before it's been very private and people didn't even say, you know, what club they belong to. And you still kind of keep that somewhat private, but with sports, you know, it's out there that you go to these places. Rick, when you were over at the Olympic Club, did you have a chance to dine in the dining room downstairs?
Didn't know they had one.
so they fed you upstairs. It was a private event where they just, you know, had you there for and had food in the room, I guess, probably.
I was just playing basketball there. Yeah. Yeah. The only club I think that I've ever almost joined is the Richmond Rod and Gun Club, just so I could just shoot into the bay. I think that would be the only one for me.
Oh, well, tell me about the Rod and Gun Club. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's right on the water. Do you know where the East Brother and West Brother Islands are in Richmond by the Yeah. So the Rod and Gun Club, if you sort of make your way towards Richmond Centerville Bridge, it's over on that side, and it's fishing and it's shooting ranges, and it's been there my whole life, and I'm pretty sure my grandfather was a part of it. I have a lot of friends who are members, and then I almost joined and I thought, I won't go down there enough. But anyway, Karen, as always, good discussion. People should check out the website at salesporttalk.com, and we will catch up with you next Tuesday.
Okay, sounds great.